listening to my homeboy Rick Emerson. Got my dial set to KTOK. Don't want to miss anything he might say. Listen at work, listen in the car, listen on the internet from afar. Or listen like I do, or smoking a bowl. Listen enough, you want to eat Rick's soul. Laughing so hard, I had to pull over. Let's all F Matt 100 times over. But let's not forget the news culprit, the man with the voice, Mr. Listener's Choice, Tim Riley. Tim Riley, let's get on with the show.
Minute 38 seconds after the hour of 11, and it's the month of October in the year of our Lord 2006. Thank you for coming along, making it part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 South Estate Radio. This, my friends, is the Rick Emerson radio program, and I think enough time has passed now that we can now ask if there's some sort of a speech impediment at work there. I'm unclear about whether it's an accent or whether it's just he's missing part of his mouth. Some sort of a, I don't mean to be insulting. It's a it's sort of an inability to.
That does not sound like an accent.
It's an inability to form the R sound. That's what that is. It's like his mouth is sort of closing around the R sound, but can't quite close the deal. Can't quite complete the action. I found that in my basement the other day. It's amazing the stuff you find, by the way. If you haven't cleaned out your basement, let me just tell you this. Before you go shopping, before you go buy anything, before you go to the store to purchase anything, I encourage you to pick a room in your house that you haven't cleaned in quite some time and just go through, because you're going to find the most amazing crap. Stuff you didn't know you owned, stuff you forgot that you bought, stuff you don't remember being given to you. It's all just lurking around there. So it is with that. That artist's name is E. Legal. It's the letter E hyphen legal. Play on words there. And it is simply called The Rick Song. So there you go. I found that CD, and it's still played. It's amazing. I found that you scuffed all the crap just sitting in the corner of my basement. I don't know, about 2 or 3 days ago. So there you go. All right. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. I'm starting. If I sound like I'm not getting sick, I assure you. It's that I spent all...
You didn't get your flu shot.
It had nothing to do...
Then you definitely be sick.
I'm sorry?
Then you definitely be sick.
I can't really hear Tim.
I can't hear him either, and he's up really high.
I'm up really high. Uh-oh, we better fix this before Tina Yavi comes.
Hold on, let me turn off my microphone and see if he's working. Tim,
testing 1, 2, 3, testing 1, 2, 3. I can barely hear what's happening here.
That's weird. It's all the way up.
What?
Oh.
Test 1, 2. How's that?
This has something to do with... Is that your voice?
Are you sick?
Is there something wrong with your throat?
I'm starting to lose my voice.
You sound so weird.
Is that the microphone?
I don't know if it's me or the microphone.
Yeah, get right on the microphone.
Do I sound different?
No, you sound fine.
Okay.
It's only me.
Oh, God. It begins.
The guest flu has begun.
You got the flu shot. You're next. You're okay today. I'm fine. You know why? No flu shot for me.
This happened the day after I got the flu shot.
Yes. There you go. Fantastic.
I just had a huge bruise on my arm and couldn't sleep for 2 days.
At least I got a real reason.
I couldn't sleep because I couldn't breathe.
Oh, this is sad.
And there are no over-the-counter remedies available anymore in the state of Oregon. It looks like I may have to journey north this weekend.
You have to go to Vancouver, where the children are young and supple.
Maybe we should have an engineer come in at the break and check that out.
Makes my voice.
I was going to say, have them snake down your throat somehow and see what's wrong with your esophagus.
It has to be the mic, too.
I don't think so.
It's all the way up.
Look, I'm willing to bite the bullet. Let's trade microphones for a second. I'm confident in my immune system.
There you go.
Come stand over here.
All right.
I feel good. My white blood cells are healthy. I don't know.
Okay, my white blood cells are fine.
See? He sounds fine now.
Oh, maybe I should stay on this microphone.
What about me?
Yeah, see? You're muffled.
Oh, it is the microphone.
It is the microphone.
Hello.
That's not any better.
Well, we got to fix this before seeing the others.
We sure do.
Oh, darn it. Jesus God. All right. Well, how... What is different? What happened between... No one's used this room. How could somebody...
I don't know. Every time I come in, my headphones are all the way turned down. The cue's always turned up. I don't know. Somebody is in here playing with the knobs.
Somebody's playing with the knobs.
All right. That's fantastic.
Excellent.
Good times. All right.
Well, I'll go back here.
And your voice is bad, by the way.
My voice is bad.
There is something to... There is something demonstrably wrong.
Well, I'm going to try to cure this weekend, but living in Oregon...
Well, no, now he sounds fine again.
I feel much better.
The microphone sounds normal.
No, again. The microphone's all the way at zero.
It's turned all the way up. All right. I don't know what's going on. Well, we're off to a fantastic start today.
Don't the engineers listen to us? Someone help us.
Hello!
I don't think there's anybody in there.
Name of all that is holy.
Are they playing Dungeons & Dragons?
For the love of God.
No, they're not here.
That's great. Thank you.
Oh, you know what? They're out in the lobby. You just got to get Jake and go get them. We got the new sign. That's what they're doing.
They're putting up a sign.
Okay.
You sound like the Geico commercials.
Picture a man. Picture of a man in a $4 room. The best laid plans of mice and men and Henry Bemis, a little man who only wanted to read. All right, it's 503. This is going to be the best show ever. 503, amity, as you know, means friendship. 503-733-2970. You can also email us if you'd like to engage with us electronically in some fashion. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. And now if I sound a little weird, it's because Tim's microphone is now actually turned so loud that it's now picking up the ambient sound of me talking. So,
that must be fixed.
All right.
There's it must, Tim.
All right, well, Scott and Jay can't find any of them. They have to be here. I just saw them.
They were just here like 30 seconds ago.
Oh, I'm sure they're going to be back by the time Tina Yavis is here.
All right, hold on. If I just dial zero, will it get me the front desk?
I don't know.
Let's find out. Now, see, this interrupted my whole story about the strip club last
Welcome
night.
Welcome to Quest. For service in English, press 1.
Sweet God Almighty. All right. It's the Rick Emerson Show, by the way. We're attempting to find out why Tim's microphone isn't working. Let's see here. I don't have to dial 9. Just going to call Carol at the front, see if we can find the engineer. They were just here. What is it? Did they disappear into a wormhole or something as soon as the program starts?
1K hits.
Hi, Carol?
No, this is Kat.
Hi, Kat. It's Rick Emerson. How are you?
I'm good.
Hey, have you seen any of the geeks around, any of the engineers?
No.
They were just... Okay, where did they go, Kat? They were just here.
The engineer's lounge.
Quark's bar. Okay, could you page one of the engineers or perhaps call one of them newfangled cell phones and find whoever it is?
We have an A-list star coming here in 20 minutes, and we don't have a microphone that works.
Okay, I'm talking about Tina Yathers, Kat. She's going to be in this studio in 25 minutes, and I have no microphone for her to speak in.
I will track somebody down for you.
Thank you, Kat.
Thanks, Kat.
Oh, bye. There you go. God damn it. All right. Well, in any event, someone's put a small paper cut out of Tina Yathers' head on the back of Tim's microphone. We have to remove that before she gets here because it just looks creepy. All right,
her?
Well, that was her years ago,
when she
was, according to Tim, a portly child star. Be sure to mention that when she gets in, by the way. You're no longer portly.
Just be careful what you say, because I know that they might be listening.
Because she'll punch me? Because she'll put her weight behind the fist when she...
No, because they'll just turn around and drive back to the women's convention that she's at if they hear...
All right.
You are scared.
I'll try to dry my tears.
Okay.
Tina Yathers will walk out of this studio. All right. Well, if you're just joining us, Tim's microphone doesn't work. Let's see. Sarah had a flat tire this morning, and my voice is gone because I was stuck between 15 guys who were smoking cigars all night at a strip club for like 5 hours. So there you go. It's pretty much going to be the best show you've ever heard of any broadcast anywhere on any radio station in any state in this fine republic of ours. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email us, rick@rickemerson.com. Before we go any further, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show our good friend.
Postman.
Okay, somebody's messed with the level.
Oh, for the love of God. Oh, and I guess I should actually pick up a phone. Hello, Chris. How are you, sir?
The best show already.
Shut your postal delivering pie hole. It is... I don't understand. Okay, no one has been in here. We're the only people who use this room.
No, somebody messes with the headphone pod every day.
Well, that's just a knob, though. That's just turning it up and down, right?
Something's wrong, because that sounder is never that loud.
Oh, for the love of... All right. Anyway, how are you, Chris?
I am good.
All right.
Ballots are going out today, so.
Oh, that's right. You get all the political. Has that thing gone out, that newsprint thing they put out every year, the big voter pamphlet guide where it's...
Two of them.
Really? Those things are fantastic.
One for the candidates and one for the measures.
Those things are always good for it. Those are always... Didn't you just... To whatever extent you can actually answer, didn't there some women's voting action guide or something that went out?
Oh, yeah, that was good. I remember to bring it back with me Monday.
You know what you sound like? You sound like... Who's that guy from the Little Rascals?
Froggy.
We're going to paint a barn. Yeah, that's... You're not there yet, but you are trending towards sounding like that guy.
I'm doing my best.
Oh, it's just sad. This is going to be like that one day when I came in at the beginning, and at 11 a.m. my voice was fine, and then by the time 3 o'clock rolled around, I was sounding like Wolfman Jack. That's going to be exactly this. I can already sense it coming.
I'd like to feel better, but the state of Oregon deprives me of the medical necessities that I need.
Well, because you can't actually buy any medication that does anything.
If you wake up ill, there's nothing you can do until you have time to go to Washington.
Yeah, that's really... Why wouldn't you be planning a trip to Vancouver at any moment, really, just at any given time?
You bet.
Can you buy that stuff over the internet? Can you buy Sudafed, over the web and just have it sent to you? Chris, do you know about that? Can I buy Sudafed over the...
I would imagine you can, but I don't know why you'd want to. I mean...
Well, because...
You'd want to feel better.
You'd want to, so you don't feel as though you're about to die. Or if you've got finals coming up, but mostly the dying part. Because otherwise, the only choice is to pack up and drive to Vancouver every time you need to buy some Sudafed. And even if you go to Vancouver, it's like, I think they'll probably hold you to only buying a box of it. You know what I mean? And so it seems, and they're only going to make that harder to get. And frankly, let's be honest, it's only a matter of time before Washington State makes it illegal to buy that stuff as well. As I've noted before, it's just like things designed to help keep you awake. Oh, wait, hold on. One of the engineers is calling me. Can you drop the monobed for a second?
Is that a Christmas song?
Hello, Sean?
Futurama.
Oh. Hey, it's Rick. Hey, Tim's microphone doesn't appear to be, what's the word?
Functioning properly.
Working, yeah. So Tim sounds like he's really hollow. It sounds like he's inside of some sort of a large box when he speaks. And Sarah has a list of other problems as well. So are you guys around?
The microphone's most important.
The microphone sounds really bizarre. Are you guys in the building? Do you guys know that Tina Yathers is going to be here today?
In 10 minutes.
Tina Yathers is going to be here 20 minutes after the hour, and I have no microphone on which she can speak. Tina Yathers, Sean Couples. All right. She was on it. Never mind. Do you know if one of the other engineers is around or somebody near the building?
Has she been working the town?
This may be her only spot.
All right, great. Thank you, Sean. All right, there you go. All right, there's
was
Sean.
Was she Couples. On another station?
I doubt it.
All right, there you go. Sean's really crazy today.
We usually order exclusivity on things like
of
this.
Of course, if it's Tina Yathers.
All right. Of course. What hasn't she done?
That is the one thing I want you to say.
Tina, what hasn't Tina Yathers done?
No, just say, Tina Yathers, what haven't you done?
All right. By the way, I'd like to thank Scotty. This whole opening segment is just a wash now. So, hey, oh, I'm sorry, Chris. I forgot you were there.
That happens a lot.
That's okay. I'm sorry. Aww. There's this whole business with a microphone not, you know, working. We do have a special surprise for her when she comes in, by the way. When Tina Yathers is in the studio at the bottom of the hour. Is it 11:30?
Yeah.
Okay, so Tina Yathers going to be here.
We're 11:20.
She'll be here. She'll be in the building. Any minute now, she'll be arriving in the building. Sean will have to walk. Now, somebody told me that she has jet black hair now.
She does.
Really? And she's that she lost. Do you know how much weight she lost in Celebrity Fit Club? See, I don't think I can bring this stuff up with her. I don't think
that's why she went on. She went on a worldwide TV show to lose weight. I think it's okay.
She lost 42 pounds. She lost 21% of her body weight. She holds the record today for the second highest weight loss and highest weight body weight percentage loss in the history of the show. But the sad thing is, you look at the Wikipedia, nowhere online are there any pictures of her that are more recent than like 15 years. You think if she'd been on Celebrity Fit Club, they'd want to have a bunch of photos of her so people could see what she looked like. Everywhere you go is just like a bunch of Aquanet and like a bad shoulder pad outfits. Anyway, but we have a little bit of a surprise for her when she comes in today. So Tina Yathers is going to be here in the building around 11:20. She'll be here in the studio around 11:30. And then we'll see if the microphone actually functions. Here's what else is coming up today. We got news that hurts. We'll get to that. We're going to talk about Jessica Simpson's bosoms. And, of course, because it's a story about Jessica Simpson's bosoms, it also includes her father, Joe Simpson, and a camera, and her laying back in a bed barely covered in a lace negligee. You know what I'm talking about. Or don't you? Well, you will. You will. You will. I'm just going to say it. It involves...
That's what happens when she fires her publicist and says that she's going to do all of her own publicity.
That's...
Daddy puts her own lingerie.
I was going to say, that's what happens when you only get a C-plus in biology class. That's what happens that's when worse. The lawn doesn't get mowed properly. I'm just going to say that it involves, and I'm not making this up, I'm only going to say that it involves Jessica Simpson laying back in a bed, having her breasts barely covered by a negligee while being photographed by her father in a dim light. There you go. That's it. That's what it involves. You say, ooh, like it's a bad thing. We've got that. Aaron the Geek is going to be in the studio later on. Aaron Geek and the City Duran will be here later because we were at his bachelor party last night, which I now don't really have time to talk about, except to say, I'm just going to tell you that this one moment last night, and this personifies, this is the quintessence of the entire evening last night. And let me ask you this. Guess which strip club we were at? And it's not Mary's, because that's everybody's first guess.
That was mine.
Everybody guesses. In fact, this... Oh, that's going to sound great when I'm talking to Tina Yathers later on. I was just inhaling, because strip clubs, there's like five different kinds of things inhaling into your lungs that are bad. A, everybody's smoking. B, if you're at a bachelor party with Aaron and his friends, everybody's smoking cigars. And so all night, I'm just surrounded by guys who are just... And just putting the cigar smoke into the air.
I don't know. Which one did you go to?
then you've got all the powder, like the smoke that they put into the air when the strippers dance. It's like kind of a misty haze. So I'm... Misty haze sounds, in fact, like a porn star, doesn't it? But so I'm breathing in all of the purple lilac-scented smoke that they put in the air when she comes out and dances to the golden earring. And then you've got the stripper perfume that even if they're not anywhere near you... I mean, I didn't shower last night, by the way, so that's another feather in my cap when Tina Yathers comes in and sits 3 feet away from me that I'm going to smell like stale cigars and like ass. So I smell like stripper cologne or perfume on top of that. So we didn't go to Mary's. I went to see Peter Carlin last night at Borders. Peter was doing a reading from his Beach Boys book at Borders last night, and so I'm sitting there at 7 o'clock, and I wanted to stay and watch it. And plus, I'm right in Peter's line of sight, so I can't leave. Like I can't get up and leave halfway through. There's all these technical problems at Peter's Beach Boys reading. At one point he says, "Let's listen to a little bit of Wouldn't It Be Nice from Pet Sounds," and then it's just shrieking peals of feedback, and nothing works. And as time goes on through the reading, he's clutching the podium more and more tightly, and I can see his knuckles going white and sweating.
We used to have someone like that who did those things for us.
The shrieking peels of feedback.
He used to run our board.
I don't know who you're talking about, Tim.
No.
Who are you speaking about?
Oh, I can't think of the person's name offhand.
Let's put on a show. Anyway, so I go to Peter, and I start getting these text messages like, "Where are you, bitch? We're at the bachelor party." And so I finally go to meet them at the Safari Room. Yeah.
I've been there. Is that the... No, that isn't.
That's the one on 39th or 36th and Powell, right next to Motel 6.
Right next to Cocktails and Dreams. That's the one with the showers.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Wait, does it have showers?
Yeah.
The Safari? I didn't see any showers.
No. Cocktails and Dreams does.
Really?
The girls stand in these big plastic degrading tubs and like, stand in shower nozzles.
Do you have any girls that are in large degrading plastic tubs? That's what I am hankering for this evening. This is the pleasure I desire. I would like a girl who is being covered in ladles full of baked beans. Please, now to make this happen. Okay, now would you like... Now, see, I wasn't even going to mention this. Now, I don't think she's listening. I think she's still sleeping it off, but can I mention something? So, I found out later at night... Now, this I did not know this last night, but while I was at Safari last night, guess who was right next door at Cocktails and Dreams?
Clara?
Yes. So, I don't know what that's all about.
Why was she there?
It's a long story. I don't want to talk about it. So, my wife...
Is there another reason why you smell like stripper perfume? Somebody have the pillow wall last night?
No, I just... Oh, I'm sorry, Chris. I forgot you were there. It's a long story. Anyway,
was she mad at you? Was she spite going to it?
No. I should be really clear about that. It was no unpleasant. No, there was no anger or vitriol involved in any way. But it was like sheer coincidence. And she actually had sent me a text message earlier that she was going to... She did this weird ad hoc like strip club tour last night with some people. And she, the whole night, it was so weird. I'm getting these text messages from my wife all night alerting me to whatever strip club she's going to go to so that we don't inadvertently... like. cross paths because she figured it would just be awkward. Because, you know, she didn't want it to look like she was stalking me. So she was sending me these text messages letting me know what strip club she was going to be at so that it would... Because she said, in her words, she didn't want to show up at the same strip club and have all the guys think that, like, I was being shadowed by my wife at the bachelor party. So it's funny, the plastic degrading tub girl place, that's where my wife was while I was right next door at Safari, which... Look, I'm just going to say that we'll talk more about this later because Aaron and Scott Daly are going to be here later. So it's just going to be one big rolling ball of flaming chaos today. And Aaron is going to be so hungover. Aaron was the most drunk, and that guy drinks a lot, all right? I mean, I'm not saying he has a problem, but I'm saying there's no middle ground there. He's a responsible adult, but when he drinks, he drinks. When he drinks, he gives it the whole nine yards. He was as drunk as I have ever seen him last night. It was unreal. When I left Safari last night at like 1 a.m., he was still, I mean, he was sitting at the rail or whatever, at the bar by one of the stages, throwing fistfuls of dollar bills at this stripper, and then trying to stand up, and then just sort of weaving and falling back into a wall. I mean, it was all great. The best moment of the night, though, is it's myself, and it's Aaron, and it's Clyde, and it's Scott Daly, and Jason Crumb, the whole geek parade. Everybody is there. And I won't say who this was, but there was one of the geeks who was there last night, sitting at the rail watching the strippers, and the stripper is, as my grandfather used to say, working with the good Lord giver. And so the geek is sitting there, and he's, you know, dollar bill, dollar bill, dollar bill, and then reach in the pocket, out comes the inhaler. Asthma inhaler. And then the asthma inhaler. And he's trying to be all smooth about it. Like, you know, keep working that while I take my asthma medicine. Back in the pocket. Then the dollar bills keep coming. So, I know I'm making it sound like it was just the weirdest, most debauched evening. And it really was and it wasn't. So we'll talk more about that later. But anyway.
Anything else we got to tease? Because you got to get off the phone.
Oh, hello,
the
Chris.
The others is coming.
I'm sorry. I forgot you were there. Jessica Simpson's breasts, news that hurts, Tina Yothers, Aaron the Geek will be here. We'll answer the magical question, how wooden will Bob Costantini be today as he fills in for Lisa Goddard? and we'll have Tim Riley with the new news hour, but we all know that, so there you go. So I'm gonna under-promise, over-deliver today, and I'm going to manage expectations.
Anything about roofing nail guns and scrotums?
Quite possibly, but I'm not going to guarantee it.
Okay, so...
I have Jenny Hogan news, though. I have news about our good friend Jenny Hogan at Coin. So we'll get to that.
Jenny Hogan news, how wooden will Bob Constantini be? Aaron, geek in the city. Jessica Simpson's bosoms and her dad.
Yes.
News that hurts, and Tina freaking the other.
Yes, exactly. That's it. She will be up momentarily, as a matter of fact. So there you go. All right, my friend, we'll check in with you at the end of the day's program. Where are the push-ups today?
57.
All right, we'll check in with you at the end of the show, and I will owe a push-up for each item not gotten to.
Will do.
All right, Tim Riley is working on the following stories for your edification today.
A man is stabbed multiple times while waiting for a MAX train. Oh. George Michael smokes pot during a TV interview. A judge orders a troublesome woman not to get pregnant again. And the Pope urges his flock to oppose deviant love.
I wonder what you're going to sound like about an hour from now. That's kind of what I wonder about.
I don't know.
See, Lisa, and I would be worried that I was getting sick too, exactly, if I did not know where this voice was coming from. So it's going to be an interesting day because I have no voice, and although I don't think I'm getting sick, my voice is probably not going to get any better as the program goes on. Your voice is only going to degrade. Aaron will almost certainly still be drunk and unable to talk when he comes in later on today. And, of course, Tina Yothers will be here, but we probably won't be able to actually hear her speak because the microphones seem to have imploded on us. So there you go. All right, kids, 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Scotty J, is Tina Yothers, is she here? Is Tina Yothers in the building at this point? Do we know if she's actually arrived? You can't just type scrotum on the screen as an answer. Do you see how... When I say, is Tina Yothers here, and you just type back scrotum on the screen, do you see how that doesn't necessarily... All right. Well, hello, Matt. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. How can I help you?
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
Hey, I just wanted to just put an enormous amount of emphasis on the importance of getting to the scrotum and nail gun story.
It would make
my entire day to hear Tim Riley say the word scrotum repeatedly.
Scrotum. I barely knew him. Is it now? Do you know the story?
I've heard the story. I heard the story on Stephanie Miller a day or so ago. But,
all right.
But I need to hear Tim Riley say it.
Really, there is no story like a story read by Tim Riley.
Oh, absolutely. He's the best newsman in the known universe.
I am with you on that, my friend. All right, we'll make sure we get to it today.
All right, take it easy.
Thank you, Matt. All right, there you go. All right, do we have to break? All right, let's take a break here. We'll come back. Tina Yathers, who is apparently not in the building yet. What if we get stood up by Tina Yathers? Oh, that would just be the most depressing thing ever. All right, back after this. It's Rick Emerson, Sean, AM 970, Solid State Radio. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Rick, you should ask Miss Tina Yathers how she feels about that South Park episode featuring her. How often do you get a chance to talk to someone who's been bestowed with that? When was she on... Now it's going to bug me. When was she on South Park?
I do not know.
See, South Park is one of those shows that I'm a big fan of, but you sort of take... South Park, to me, is sort of like Seinfeld, where it's on so often and so frequently, especially because it was a cable show to begin with. I take it for granted, and I don't really watch it as religiously as I should. Like, the debut of a new South Park episode isn't that something I structure my whole life around, because you know that they're all just floating around on television all the time. So now I'm trying to remember exactly when she was on there. Tina Yathers wasn't the leg of that creature Scuzzlebutt. That was Patrick Duffy. Anyway, he says, I met Jared from Subway a couple years ago on a WB weather... Oh, this is from our friend Nate. I met Jared from Subway a couple years ago on a WB weather remote with Richard Nunn, and I seized the opportunity to ask him how he felt about it. All about being on South Park. He told me he avoided it, watching it for the longest time out of fear, but then finally watched the Jared AIDS episode and thought it was hilarious and made me a foot-long sweet onion chicken teriyaki. Nate, all right. Will is in the studio right now attempting to wheedle the microphone.
He's taking it apart.
He's actually, well, we're getting
Be careful, you're squishing her head.
We're getting a whole new microphone because this is Tina Yathers that we're talking about right here. All right.
I'm going to put this on, Will.
All right, thank you. Yeah, the paper head of Tina Yathers that someone has cut on and put on a microphone is just going to make things very... And this is what we were talking about during the break here, is that all kidding aside, I'm trying to figure out what it is... if you are some loser guy like me, if you are some Gen X guy, what is it that you actually want to know from Tina Yathers? And, of course, the first thing... Was it you that immediately came up with, when did you lose your virginity?
No, that wasn't me.
Who was it?
That was Scotty J.
Scotty. Of course, Scotty was that was Scotty's first suggestion. When did you lose your virginity? Which is a thing, which is, of course, a thing that you want to know, but it's by definition a thing that I can never ask. There is no reality in which I can ask Tina Yathers when she lost her virginity or how that happened.
Okay, I guess on South Park she was the one who gave out the costume awards for some costume contest.
Was that...
It's called Pink Eye?
Oh, yeah. That's the one where that's the one where Kenny gets Pink Eye and then they have to chainsaw him to death. I believe it was their very first Halloween episode. All right. No, fair enough. All right. So she was on... So let's compile the information, I say, about who she was on Celebrity Fit Club with. What if she never shows up? It's like 11:35. I mean, even by Tina Yathers'
standards. Very important and busy. What if we have all these questions for her? Yeah, and we do get stuck.
Seriously, because now I realize that...
We made Will come in. Oh.
Wait, Scotty J?
Oh, he's giving us
the
nod.
Scotty J, walk in. Come here. Sit by the studio. What's the deal?
He's out in the lobby at that moment.
Tina Yathers in the lobby.
So the listener thing, you got to let me
know. I'm sorry?
Let me know what you want to do with the listener.
What are you talking about?
The surprise.
Okay, she's not in the studio right now. You can tell me. We're right here.
Let me know what you want to do.
Oh, with the music?
Yeah.
Okay, does Sarah know what it is? Does Sarah have the number for the song?
It's not in yet.
Right.
Because he doesn't have the record.
Oh, I see. All right. We should tell people what we're talking about before we bring Tina Yathers into the studio. Here's what happened. This was our big plan. You are now seeing just a whole implosion of a planned bit and interview. What happened is that Tina Yothers, when she was on Family Ties in like 1987, there was an episode of Family Ties where Tina Yothers, there was a thing that happened in the 80s on every sitcom where every teen character on a sitcom went through an episode arc where they were in a band. And it was exactly the same with Family Ties, where Jennifer Keaton was in a like a punk band. And they actually released a 45 of the single that Jennifer Keaton's band, her supposed band recorded, which was a song called Baby, I'm Back in Love Again. We had some listener who had the 45 that was going to drop it off, and we were going to surprise her with it. But it looks like that did not happen. All right, so we are sans that. Will, where are we at on the microphone here? All right, Scotty, let's test the microphone that Tina Yothers is going to be using.
Check.
Oh, wait, it's still something.
Let's just point that right at your face.
Hello. Hello, is it working?
Well, it's
not.
We don't have any choice.
If the listener shows
up. I can hear him. It doesn't sound pretty. It lacks body, but I can hear him. So we'll just have to go with it.
If the listener shows up, do you want to do something there?
You know, well, no, because we're only going to do one segment with it, probably, because we're probably, because we got to break at like 50. So at this point, you know, look, this is Tina Yothers' fault for running late. All right. You know what? So why don't you go ahead and position that microphone for Tina Yothers, because you'll be sitting there in Tim's chair. And you know what? The microphone's not perfect, but we'll just have to go with it. Tina Yothers can be delayed no longer. Now it's become a bandage I just want to rip off and get done. All right. Thank you. Yeah, go ahead and bring her in. All right. I meant to have a listener.
I'm a little
on hold.
Nervous.
Well, the whole hour's just become a goddamn disaster now because of the mic. This is exactly what happens when you're an obsessive compulsive nitwit like myself, is that when something happens at the top of the hour like this, it just throws the whole hour becomes is solid and besmirched. I had this grand plan to have a listener on hold to hum the Family Ties theme when she came on. So I was going to have like a chorus of listeners on hold going like,
do 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 do. You should just do it.
All right, I'll do that right now. Hold on. I'm watching the hallway now as Tina Yothers. Who is she on Celebrity Fit Club with?
Carney Wilson.
It's Carney
Wilson. Carney Wilson, Bone Crusher, Erica Laniak.
Erica Laniak, really?
Yeah.
Erica Laniak's a girl who came out of the cake. Oh, look at that.
I'm going to go get her.
Oh, that's beautiful. All right, that's fantastic. All right, Scotty J., Scotty J actually now has. Look at this. Look at this vinyl record.
That's awesome.
Tina Yothers. Oh, they didn't even. They released it just as a Tina Yothers single, not as a Family Ties record. Oh, that's genius. All right, we're going to see if we can. Executive producers, Bob Yothers. We're going to see if we can pull the audio off this Tina Yothers record.
Okay, give it to the guy over at K-Head.
All right, I'll give it. When Scotty comes back in, I'll give this to him. So, all right. Scotty is now. This is now the calm before the storm.
I'm actually nervous.
I'm not nervous, because you know what? We only got like 9 minutes now, so it's going to be over soon. And then we'll start the news hour and see if the microphone works then. All right.
All right, let's give it a shot.
Check one, check two, check three, check four. Hello?
All right. You know what? It's good. No, it's close enough for Jack.
It's good.
No, we're going to roll. Okay, here we go. Oh, wait. Tina Yothers.
Yay!
Oh, the studio can't show you that she's pushing a stroller.
She's pushing a stroller?
She's pushing a stroller.
God, she had a baby.
Yeah, no, she's
breaking news.
Breaking news. Her reproductive system works. All right. And Scotty's now opening the door.
Hi.
She's walking in. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Tina Yothers is joining us now. Tina Yothers, how are you?
Rick.
That would be me, myself.
I am Rick. Well, you never know, Ricky.
You know what? I have to tell you right now, this has been an interesting morning for us. We've had a few technical difficulties with your microphone there, and so it's just been one big rolling flaming disaster of a show for about the last 42 minutes. But now
it's
gold. I can feel I can feel the gloom lifting. I can feel the clouds parting. I had this grand scheme where I was going to have a chorus of four listeners in perfect harmony on the phones singing,
Sha-la-la-la.
humming the Family Ties theme, just
what
sort of
happened?
And it didn't really work. It's one of those, one of many things that didn't come together today. So how are you?
It's Friday. Is it the 13th? No.
That was a couple weeks ago.
It is the 20th. Yeah. No, last Friday was the 13th. It is the 20th. So Tina Yothers, welcome to the show. How are you?
I don't mean to be
another dumb, horny Gen X guy, but you look beautiful. You are.
Thank you.
He's
getting a little flustered.
I don't think I've ever met a horny Gen X guy.
Oh, come on. This is the first. I am a terrible interviewer. I'm going to tell you this right now. This is not my. I am bad at interviewing
really
people.
Well.
No, yes, I want to be...
I haven't said two words yet.
I'm just giving you the lay of the land beforehand, that it is not necessarily my strength to talk to people, and if they are women, doubly so, because I just begin to babble like some sort of big babbling thing, and then it all sort of implodes. And especially now somebody that... I mean, you must meet guys all the time who come up. I mean, how many times a day do you hear the phrase, well, I had the biggest crush on you when I was 11 years old?
Well, not very often, because Jennifer... Oh, I talk as she's someone else. I went through puberty on Family Ties, and it wasn't a pretty puberty. Oh. I had big hair, I had acne, I had a lot of things going on that were normal. And so, no, I didn't get... And I was also on the air when Alyssa Milano was on the air with Who's the Boss.
She ain't nothing, baby.
She had the... I remember, like, Tiger Beat would come and do a story with me on my charity work. And then they do, like, centerfolds with her.
And she's on a zebra skin rug somewhere.
Yeah. I'm like... But, so, I think as I grew up and matured and came into my own, then people kind of started complimenting.
The thing about Jennifer Keaton on Family Ties is that she was, like, the smart one, though. And I know that in some circles, smart is sort of code for homely, but that was not the case.
Right.
Because, you know, because you were very cute, and then also you appealed to the guys, you know,
Sports, and then, yeah, definitely. I also appealed to prisoners, as a matter of fact.
That's a good feeling.
Well, so my mom used to read my mail. Well, she would edit, or not edit, but...
get a lot of noise.
Screen. Yeah. She would screen my mail. And, yeah, a lot of prisoners.
Just a lot of moist envelopes coming from the penitentiary. No, these are the things.
Actually, no. One guy, he actually robbed a bank in, like, Alabama, and he told me he had lots of money stashed away, and he would be out in 10 years, and he'd like to share it with me.
I'm going
to
come create a beautiful life for us.
So I was like, well, tell me where the money is, and then
and I'll meet you
up. Now, yeah, so growing up as a kid, it was kind of strange. Certain things. I had a guy actually stalking me outside my house. He was taking pictures.
When, I mean, at what age?
At 12.
That? Really?
Yeah. And yeah, it was a bit strange.
Was that around the same time? Was that before or after Rebecca Schaefer was killed?
Because that was after. So that kind of put a weird cloud over, you know, how close people could get. Actually, a guy came to one of our tapings with a shotgun.
Really?
That he handmade for Michael Fox. And it was probably a generous offer, then the metal detectors came on the set.
Now, see, this Sarah may not remember this. Rebecca Schaefer was the co-star with Pam Dauber on a sitcom called My Sister Sam.
Yeah.
And this is like, I mean, this is shades of, like, Star Maps.
She was a woman who was killed by a fan, right?
Yeah, but it's
he
like...
He showed up on her doorstep and shot her point blank. Right?
Oh.
And it was like back in
a
time where you could just get the address, you know? Just like, it was very, I mean, it wasn't necessarily published, but it was easy to get.
Yeah.
And he just knocks at the door like he's delivering flowers and just killed her right there. And it was...
Oh, my God.
And yeah. She had some problems with him, like she had a restraining order and that sort of thing, so I think she already knew, she was aware of him, which was kind of scary. But, you know, just today I have a new daughter, she's a year, and just God, the crazy people that are out there, and then the internet combined with craziness, kind of, I don't know what it's doing, but I watched To Catch a Predator all the time, and these men fall for this trick every time. It's just crazy. It just creeps me out.
Well, it's just, there's a whole lot of people who are...
Stop being crazy out there, please.
Teeny Others demands that you stop being crazy.
Stop the craziness.
Well, you hear so many... I mean, Different Strokes is always the one that people go to.
Yeah.
And it allows me to recycle my Todd Bridges joke, that he went from shooting a series to a series of shootings. Bam.
You should look into comedy. You really...
Me and Mark Price, we can tour together.
Well, yeah, you know, child acting as a career, it has a bad rap, but...
Did it warp you? Are you warped by being a child star?
Absolutely not. I have great parents that, and when I was acting as a child, they really... I didn't go party with my mom on Miami Beach, like some of the young girls are doing with their moms these days.
Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah.
Yeah, that relationship's bizarre.
You know, it just shouldn't be anywhere. And I know the kid that worked at, you know, Save On as a box boy or whatever store. He can dabble in his drugs and get caught up in a bad life. So it happens everywhere. It's not that child actors are doomed from the beginning. But it is an adult industry, and you are thrown into celebrity world where you have 20 people around you telling you you're the greatest right. at all times. So it kind of can get confusing with reality.
We're talking to teeny others, and I was actually just talking to somebody last night, a photographer friend of mine who's met Prince a couple times. And he met him, I think, three different times. It was almost a perfect story. The first time he met Prince, he said he was kind of coming up right before Purple Rain sort of crested. Very normal guy.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Easy going. Met him a couple years later, and he was like in full-on crazy, calm, you know, my name is the symbol for boron
right.
mode. Totally weird, off-putting, obnoxious, jerky. And then met him a few years later, and he'd sort of mellowed out again. It was like a bell curve. I mean, but even then, like Drew Barrymore, she talks about being, she's like 11 years old, and some guy handed her a bag of blow at a party.
I think that was her mom or aunt or something. You know, a lot of, like, I worked with Carney Wilson, and she was around the Beach Boys growing up, so right. she had a different lifestyle. My parents were just normal parents. They didn't let me, like I said, go party when I was 12 or 13. I don't think I even drank until I was 21 years old.
If your daughter wanted to be,
Lily.
Lily, I don't know. Yeah. If she wanted to be an actress,
absolutely.
Would you be cool with that?
If she has the determination and the drive that I had to want to do it, absolutely.
All right.
Because there are kids that really want to perform. There are kids that want to be in pageants, and they want to be in soccer and football and baseball, and they want to be pushed. You know, they like that, and I like that. I liked being on the set. I liked having the responsibility. I used to memorize the whole script. So there's usually a person on the set that is there to specifically give you your line if
right.
you can't think of it. Michael would look down at me and say, "What's my next line?" So I loved it. I loved every moment of it. So yeah, if Lily shows that as an interest, absolutely.
So Family Ties was on the air for how many? Was it 8 years?
9 years.
9 years?
Yeah.
And so you, you hit
7
whatever,
to
12?
16.
7 to 16. So wow. when you hit 13, I mean, that's got to be where you should get up every morning. You just want to, like, shoot yourself rather than be on camera, right? I mean, because
it was such a great environment, and people, like,
even as a teenager,
like,
though? Teenagers get so nutty about how they look. I mean,
see, I never really got caught up in that. That's why I've always been healthy, I think, because I never let anyone dictate, like, what I was going to do to look a certain way or act. Like I said, I had acne throughout half the show, and, you know, the audience wouldn't know that because NBC and Paramount would have corporate meetings on how to hide my acne.
That's a weird thought.
And but most kids would be mortified by that. But, right. you know, I almost wanted them to let me show a blemish here and there because then people could actually relate, you know,
right.
because acne is a real deal. And same thing with weight loss. I just finished Celebrity Fit Club. I won Celebrity Fit Club.
Yeah.
You've actually not the actual amount of weight, but the single growth. If I get this correct, I memorized this. I wanted to be able to impress you with this fact.
I might not even know this.
Had the record for the single greatest amount of body weight percentage loss.
Yeah.
Let's all be impressed that I knew that.
That is really good.
Thank you.
I'm really proud.
Hey, so I've always wanted to know when I've watched that show, are you guys actually standing on a huge scale? Is that what's going on, or
yeah.
is it just kind of theater of the mind?
Yeah, it's a huge scale with an orchestra underneath it that, like, dun-dun-dun.
Was this the show that Janie Lane was on? I it all kind of blends together in my head. Janie Lane was on a show from Warrant.
Yeah, exactly.
He
was on the second season.
All right, okay.
There's a lot of reality celebrity shows that are just silly. They're really just wasted time. I had a baby in October of last year. I put on a few extra pounds. I didn't have a Heidi Klum pregnancy with a little tiny soccer ball. I carried it just as much in the back as I did in the front, which a lot of women do, most women. So I knew I was going to get on a program and lose it and do it. So when the show came along, it was a perfect time for me. I did really well on the show. It was a great motivating factor. I did exercise 5 days a week, and my diet was Nutrisystem.
So when you were on the show going through the teenage years, you said they have meetings about, you know, what are we going to do about her acne? Get something on her. Did they ever talk about weight at all? Was there some guy that goes, look, how do you feel about grapefruit today?
You know, they never talked about that because I didn't have a weight problem. I was a healthy girl. I was standing next to Meredith Baxter Bernie, who was a size 0, and standing, I was a size 8, That's, I mean, I grew, and I grew quick. I became like a size 8, and I wore a size 8 shoe by the time I was 12. So I was a big 12-year-old, but I was average. I was not in any way overweight. I swam a lot. I constantly playing sports, active, running, all kinds of, so I was healthy. So, no, they would never come to me and say, eat some grapefruits for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Just on, like, the personal stuff that Rick has to know about. So I have to know, so Meredith Baxter, Bernie, or I guess she's back to being Meredith Baxter now?
Meredith Baxter, sorry, yes.
Is she as stunningly beautiful in person as she is?
She is very beautiful. She is a knockout. She really is.
I was watching, just the other day, I was watching All the President's Men again the other day. She had, I don't know, she was 27, 28, something like that. Just very end of her 20s.
No,
and just,
very,
I mean,
very
scorchingly hot. And, you know, even as, you know, and it's like, however old I would have been, 13, 14, 15. I mean, obviously, you know, she was, I still recognize
her.
No,
I remember all the crew. I mean, I didn't look at her like that then. I appreciate it now, but I remember the crew would always get very excited to see Meredith.
is it true that on, this is maybe it's an urban legend, maybe it's not. Is it true that you guys, I mean, on Family Ties, wanted the final episode to be like y'all getting killed in a plane crash? That's a thing that I hear a lot. And I'm not crazy. It's on the internet. There's just,
so you're
there's
not.
Just, I'm not crazy.
And you believe everything you read on the internet,
there
right?
I swear to God that Michael Gross actually has told this anecdote about. Where
he's
you
a
all,
wacky guy. Don't believe a word he says.
The story I heard, which maybe is not true, maybe it might be BS.
Maybe
you
share that with the teenage girl on the set.
We're all gonna die, so I will need you to.
I took it hard. It was very traumatic. It was ending my childhood. You know, it was something I grew up with every day for from the time I was 7 until. I was 16.
Did you have plans for when the show ended, or did it, like, one day you had to go to work, and then the next day you're just kind of sitting around staring at the wall?
You know, it's funny. I did a Lifetime intimate portrait, and they started the show with, she's 16 and out of a job. I'm like, how many 16-year-olds even have a job
right.
for the next 5 years? So, you know, I didn't have an exact plan. I wanted to get into music, because music was always my...
Right.
True passion. My dad was a musician. My brother's a musician, producer. So it's always been around. So I did. I did music. I had a band for 7-8 years.
Jaded, right?
Jaded.
Yeah.
And we recorded a couple albums, and we played a lot of gigs in L.A. and did our thing. But it was actually 9/11 that broke us up. We were scheduled to do a military tour.
Right.
And the military bases went on lockdown.
Uh-huh.
And it kind of... So the trickle effect of that whole thing. I fulfilled a dream. I'm not done with it. I want to record and write and produce.
I was noting earlier that and maybe it still happens now. I don't watch sitcoms the way I used to, but every 80s sitcom, if there was a teenager in the show, and I think it started with Ricky Nelson, that there would be an episode or a season where, like, the kid had a band. Because Ricky Schroeder did it, too. I remember I was watching Silver Spoons, where Ricky Stratton had this band called Splat. And he was like him and Alfonso Ribeiro and like three guys, and they were in demand. And it was the same on.
You scare me just how much you know about Silver Spoon.
My only real skill.
No, that's much about everything.
Oh,
I could actually sing you the song, but that would embarrass us all.
Do you know that Alan Thicke wrote the song?
I did know that actually. Alan Thicke also wrote the Three's Company.
You could pretend that
and Growing Pains, I believe, his own show.
And people don't recognize the genius of Alan Thicke.
Why are we talking about Alan Thicke?
Because he's a golden god, Tina Yathers. But there's this episode, and I say famous episode, maybe famous to pop culture dorks like myself, where I was telling this, and I remember this sounds so creepy. This is why I have to be really careful when I'm talking to any woman, because I just sound like a lech and a stalker and a
cretin. I think I received a letter from you.
Tina Yathers, I know that you are sending me secret messages over the television. We will be together.
I'll have to check my records, but I think the restraining order is still in effect.
There was this episode, and I think it was only ever like a one-episode arc, where at the beginning of the episode... Jennifer's in a band, and I actually don't remember the name of the band. And it's sort of a rock, new wavy, punk kind of cars kind of band. And then Alex becomes the manager, and then you become like the Lennon sisters.
Yeah, we became like the Andrew Lennon sisters.
Yeah.
And if you don't remember, Christina Applegate was
the keyboard player.
The keyboard player.
Yeah.
And Rainbow Phoenix was a drummer.
I'm so embarrassed for myself.
Rainbow Phoenix
yeah.
was a drummer. And then Yael Nucci, Danny Nucci's sister, She was a guitar player, so I had a little rockin' band.
And at the end, there was this whole thing, Sarah, because I know you care deeply about this.
I'm interested.
Where Michael J. Fox is Alex Gibb, because of course he's the sort of Machiavellian one. He's the Malcolm McLaren figure. He's like, I will mold them and make millions of dollars. So they're keeping it real, and they're in the street playing a rock. And then Alex has this idea that he's just going to make them much more palatable. So he makes them into the sort of Lennon sisters, who are these very middle-of-the-road vocal Lawrence Welk type singers of the 70s.
Mr. Sandman.
Okay. With Mark Price as Skippy.
Yeah.
Sprinkling sand over you as you perform.
But it was fairy dust.
It was great. It was so great because it has the triumphant ending, though, where you're like, Alex, I'm tired of being somebody's puppet. I've got to sing the rock that's within. And then you come out at the end and you sing this. You sing this song, Baby Back in Love. And I just remember this one moment of you, like, pointing at the camera with lace fingerless gloves on.
Oh, he was talking about the gloves over there.
Oh, it was genius. It was the best thing ever. It was fantastic.
You're really, really scaring me because I don't remember anything.
I remember it all, Tina Yoders. This is not just for looks on my head.
I do remember this because I wanted to do it so bad, and I would beg the producers to write it in.
So that was your idea? I got to sing.
Yeah, and I did, and it was, you know, that gave me an opportunity. Because they used to film Solid Gold on the next set.
Right.
Over from us, the next stage. So everyone and their mother in the 80s would perform. I mean, it was before, like, the MTV, TRL, that type of platform. So I got to meet everybody, which was awesome. And so, I was in a great place. So performing that on the show, Marilyn McCoo, the host of Solid Gold, invited me to sing my song on Solid Gold.
That's so great.
I was on Solid Gold.
You check that off in your to-do before I die list. So
done.
You must get asked all the time about if there's going to be any reunion or any sort of like a family type of movie. Because wasn't there like a European, you did a TV movie, right? Wasn't there a family type vacation?
Well, Alex was going to check out Oxford, right. And yeah, the whole family tagged along, and then we got mixed up with the
A wacky misadventure of some kind.
Yeah, the CIA and the KBG or whatever. Yeah. No, I don't believe so. I really don't think it'll ever happen.
It would
be nice just to see everyone, but no, I don't think so.
Well, you know, but in a way, it's kind of perfect that you haven't done what so many shows do, where you go back and just... Because the Brady's...
Wasn't as campy as the Brady's or the Facts of Life or those types of shows that kind of give... I mean, it gives them the ability to do that. We were still in the top five when we ended.
And the show was still good. And the show, you had so many great moments. I remember Ronald Reagan. I remember, with crystal clarity, Ronald Reagan saying on television that Family Ties was his favorite program.
Do you know that he wanted to be on Family Ties?
Oh, that would have been so great. That would have been fantastic.
The liberal producers that we had, we turned him down. He was a freaking president.
Yeah. No, we don't want the president.
And a great president. And yeah, he would have been great on the show.
But you did have Tom Hanks on. You had Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks, Gina Davis. We had a lot of up and coming stars.
Yeah. I remember, and this, all of this stuff. I mean, maybe you get older and you look back on it. It seems kind of cheesy to you or whatever. But I mean, the episode that I always remember is this episode where Alex was addicted to diet pills.
Yeah,
that he got from Cousin Effie. and the way that they knew that he was addicted is because Dad found him out back installing a sprinkler system at like 2 a.m. or something. And it always had those great sequences where you would do a serious episode like with Tom Hanks where he's an alcoholic. If you or someone you know has a problem with Cousin Effie's diet pills, please call this number and get off the junk, kids. So I mean, it's kind of cool stuff that the Brady's never did. I mean, stuff that was that was a little cool. So
yeah, I as a kid growing up on the show, I never really paid attention to those big messages. I didn't get them. So I mean, especially the younger ones, I thought the biggest dilemma the Keatons would ever have was running out of orange juice.
Seriously, I used to be so jealous.
We poured so much orange juice out of that.
And he had the coolest kitchen. I remember being so jealous to get a water cooler in the kitchen. I was, Mom, why can't we have a water cooler? Because it
that
seemed
was
like
a kick-ass kitchen.
It was like the most magical device I'd ever seen in my life.
So
the
funny.
Water cooler somehow. So
I think Sparklets like gives them out for free for $30 a month.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
I was wondering. If you're going to restart your music career, are you still doing music right now? Are you going to be an individual performer, or are you going to get back together with your band?
I don't know what's in the works right now as far as music. We do have a studio. My brother produces. We have some acts. We have an independent label that we have a few acts under that we work with them, and, you know, so writing and producing and stuff like that might be. With the new baby, I'm singing lullabies right now.
Aww.
Yeah.
All right.
But I'm in town.
I was just saying, you're in town?
For a women's expo. It's the Northwest Women's Show. And it's at the convention center. It's all kinds of fun goodies for women, all kinds of fitness, dieting, booths to buy things, purses, makeup, you name it. But I'm here for Nutrisystem, and that's the diet that I did on Celebrity Fit Club, and I'm doing it now to maintain, and I still have some pounds to lose, so it's a good program. You guys in Portland, you're lucky, because Nutrisystem is coming out with a line of their snacks and dessert bars that'll be on your shelves so that you can try it without ordering a whole month's supply before trying it. You can actually taste the flavor that Nutrisystem offers. So
you don't need to lose a few more pounds.
Yeah.
No.
No, I'm best friends with Nicole Richie, and we're going to share clothes.
If you can get to the point where I can see your spine from the front.
I can only put one finger in the leg of her pants right now, so I'm working on my hand, and then...
People will actually listen to me, and I'm a grown man, right? I've been a grown man for some time, but Sarah and I will sit in here during the... On the air... Wasting time obsessing about our calories.
Like you did yesterday with your croissant-witches?
We're like a pair of 15-year-old girls. We're sitting here going, I didn't eat today, and I'm not going to eat tomorrow either. You know, it's just
the thing
sad.
With Nutrisystem is it's portion control, and it tastes good. I mean, I'm Mexican. My mom is Mexican, and if it's not made with 2 tablespoons of lard...
I need a pound of cheese.
It's not good. Try one of these bars, please.
Can we sample the product?
Sample. They have, like, real chocolate crunch mint bars.
It doesn't have that weird taste like the fake chocolate.
No, it's not like carrot. It's really good. It's good.
Nutrisystem.
Oh, okay.
I'd like to
but
know.
The thing is, you can't eat those all day, every day.
Well, that was my plan, actually. My plan was just to eat nothing but these in a bowl of milk covered
Rick,
in brown
you gotta
sugar.
Show it to her.
I
don't even have one of those.
I'm now holding in my hands. I'm sorry. I'm eating this mint goodness. I'm now holding in my... Oh, look at the front. And it's all got, like, the Boy George, like, watercoloring.
Good.
That is awesome.
I'm holding in my hands the 12-inch maxi single for Over and Over.
That was Baby, I'm Back in Love Again. That was what I sang on the show.
Baby, I'm Back in Love Again, which is the song I was talking about, and Girly Girly, which was put out as a 12-inch in 1987.
That's reggae tune. I don't even have that, so I might have to arm wrestle you for it.
We actually had a listener drop us in. I think she's actually waiting. I think she's going to ambush you for an autograph anyway.
Awesome.
She's a listener named Maria who drops. She's like, can you please obtain the other side of my 12-inch? So, which is a phrase you don't hear enough. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
My 12-inch what?
Can I see that right?
It's fantastic. It's great. And I mean, maybe it's because I grew up in the era. I find the big hair hot. I still do. I mean, just in general. Maybe it's because I grew up in that. Not that you don't look beautiful now. I'm just saying. I look at that big hair, and to me, it's memories of a good time in my life. So Rick Emerson votes yes on big hair. All right. Do you have a website?
I have a MySpace.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
I'm gonna add you as a
we're going to be
right
your friend
now.
Within like 10 minutes. We're going to be your friend. We're going to add
thing,
like as soon as you leave the studio.
The best thing is I can deny you. Oh. I would never.
No, it's too late, baby.
I didn't say you. Said I could deny you.
No,
I check out your profile and I think you're a little...
Mine's all naked girls.
Yeah, I was going to say mine's just...
See, those are the ones I accept because...
Mine's just pictures of severed heads. It's okay, nothing. Too late. You've broken Rick Emerson's heart, Tini Yadis.
Child star broke... yeah.
Damn you, Tini Yadis. Oh, somebody... We have listeners...
I was just kidding.
I have to ask this. We have some listeners. They wanted to know what it was like to be featured on... To the character of Tini Yadis be on South Park.
You know, I have stepkids. I have twin 17-year-old boys.
So you're the coolest thing ever.
They could care less about family ties. They're like, well, family what?
Yeah.
When they said Tini Yadis on South Park, I suddenly became the coolest.
Of course. Totally.
And I have a funny story. I was at a club in L.A., and a friend of mine who owned the club introduced me to Trey Parker.
Yeah.
And he just said, she's in a band. He didn't say anything about me or my name. And so I'm talking to him, and then he leans over and he says, you know, that's Trey Parker you're talking to while you're crunching your Nutrisystem mint bar.
It's so tasty. I can't quit eating it.
It's really good.
There's a flavor sensation happening in my mouth.
Will you let him tell this love part story?
I'm listening.
So then he tells me, you know, that's Trey Parker that you're talking to. So I was like, oh, this is funny. It's a loud club. So I lean over, and one of the lines in that episode was, up yours, Tini Yadis. I don't know if it was Cartman. Sounds like Cartman.
Seems likely.
Yeah. So I just leaned over to Trey and I said, up here's Teeny Others.
Yeah.
And he looked at me like, okay, restraining order.
Yeah, totally.
What the hell? He had no idea. All then right. It clicked and he said, oh my God.
Well, because, I mean, do you...
That wasn't my idea.
Do you get reckoned? Do people pass you on the street and go, Teeny Others? Because you look a lot different than you did when most of us saw you, you know, on the show.
That was the great thing about Jennifer Keaton. I was just a girl that everyone grew up with. People approach me now like they went to school with me.
Right.
So I get, what school did you go to? All the time. I was actually at Disneyland. And I walked out of a store, and this older lady grabbed my arm and started walking with me. And my mom was like, hey. And she turned around and she said, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I'm here with 12 of my grandchildren that I don't see all the time, and I just thought you were one of them.
You were every girl.
So I was almost abducted. Yeah.
Abducted with love.
But yeah, the character wasn't like an Urkel where, you know, I could see poor Jaleel White being in a bar at some point and just say, hey, Urkel, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't get that.
Well,
so.
No, because why would you? Because Jennifer was nice, because she was the nicest of all the kids.
Well, do you get recognized a lot from Celebrity Fit Club?
I do, and it's such a good recognition, whatever the word is, because people are like, you look great, you look good, you look great, you know, so who doesn't want compliments?
Oh, did you taunt the losers? Did you ever, do you ever just want to call them at home? Like, hey, how's it going?
Loser.
I'm thinner than ever, loser.
No, you know, you have to be in the right place in your head to take control of your body and your fitness and your health and everything else. So
you and Carney Wilson are buddies?
We are.
Do you have Carney Wilson's cell phone number?
I do.
Wilson Phillips was my favorite band when I was younger.
Well, her and her sister Wendy are touring right now.
Really?
Yeah, and they have new stuff that they're working on, and they're really good.
Oh, I still listen to Wilson Phillips.
Yeah, they're really
good. I'm not ashamed of it.
Who's the most famous person in your cell phone? Who's the most famous phone number you've got, would you say? We asked this. This is our pet question.
Probably President Bush.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
No.
Well, no, I mean, look, Ronald Reagan loved your show. It seemed conceivable. You had me. I totally. But then in the back of my head, I'm like, she was President Bush's phone number. Why couldn't it be Bill Clinton?
I'd much rather talk to Bush. Right. Anyway.
Is it myspace.com/teenyothers?
Yeah, YOTHERS.
And the convention is happening when? Is it the Oregon Convention Center?
It's
is
today,
it today?
Tomorrow. There's all kinds of really cool things. We're giving away free Nutrisystem bars.
Which are tasty, by the way.
They're really good.
So just come for that.
Excellent.
And I will sign this autograph.
Come for the honors, stay for the bars.
And they're serving martinis. It's all pink and martinis. And
fantastic.
But martinis aren't on Nutrisystem.
Are or not?
They're not.
Oh, I think they are.
Sarah's eyes just lit up. Like, I am there.
I can lose weight.
Thank you, Jesus.
Everything in moderation.
Finally, a diet plan for me. All right, excellent. All right, Teeny Others, thank you so much for coming, and thank you for putting up with our juvenile.
No, I love it. I'm so excited that you know all this stuff.
You know, you are, that makes one
and
of us.
And that's just me.
Really? No one else is. The audience has long ago quit being impressed by my intimate knowledge of Happy Days and Three's Company.
No, you can store it for them. They don't have to clutter their brain.
I'm like an external hard drive or something where they can just dump all their useless crap. All right.
Awesome.
Teeny Others, thank you. The Rick Emerson Show. Continue after this with the AM 970 Noon News Hour. Don't go anywhere. Back after this, y'all. It's the Rick Emerson Show. You stay right there.